Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And the Harbor One hotline is Mike Lombardi. Mike, how you doing? Lou, it's Christian and Fitzy.
Hello, how are we doing, everyone?
Good,
everything
Mike.
Good?
Hey, everything is good. So it was a win on Sunday for the New England Patriots. Fourier said there's no such thing as ugly wins because every win is very important.
Yep.
So how would you look at that? Is it a similar approach? Just, hey, you got to win, move on? Or
I think that's the only way you can look at it. It's hard to win in the NFL. And, you know, they had a comeback. The quarterback was able to have a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter. The defense kind of got control of it a little bit in the second half. They gave up a few plays that when you watch the game, I think on the tape, there are a bunch of bad plays as opposed to there was a lot of good plays and there was a few bad plays. But look, it's a win. They're a young team. I mean, this is what I think the hardest part is for most people to understand is they're not the team that, you know, they're starting this the Patriot way all over again. And you're going to need games like this where you don't play as good early and you fight back and you show mental toughness. So I think it was certainly a step in the right direction.
Like Mike, when you said they're a young team, do you think they're like a young team as far as their, you know, influence on this roster? Because when I look at their offense, I mean, there's just a bunch of veterans on that side of the football other than Mac Jones and maybe the backs.
I think that the reality, what I'm saying is they haven't played together. I mean, they haven't played together. I think they're trying to find their identity, and I think they're getting closer to their identity as they go along. I think that's been what they need to do, and I think that's kind of where they are. And it's going to take them some time, and they're led by a young quarterback. I mean, the quarterback is very young, and he's going to make mistakes in the game, and he's going to have some hard times with it. So I think it's clearly, you know, even though you might have older players in age, I think it's still a challenge to get everybody working together and playing together on such little time.
Yeah, they haven't been together that long. I think actually, Christian, they have the seventh oldest roster in the NFL. So in terms of just actual age, they're a veteran team, but they only have been together for less than a year. Mike, we've been having this debate as well. What is it the Patriots are doing well? Like, we've been trying to figure out what they do really well. And there are some things that they're coming around to do well, but what is it that they're doing well that we're not seeing or we're not giving them enough credit for to date?
You know, I think the one thing they've done a really good job of, other than what happened a few plays in the game, is not getting the ball thrown over their head. Even in the Houston game, I mean, J.C. Jackson has a chance to intercept that pass. I think he lost it in the lights, and he jumped too soon. And so they've been able to keep the opponent from making big plays down the field for the most part. So that's been really good. And they've been able to play effectively in the red zone like they did against Tampa. Really good. They held teams to field goals. And they've been able to move the ball at times with their offense. And they've been able to put together some drives. They haven't done a good job in the red zone. They haven't been able to score touchdowns as opposed to kick field goals. And I think that's been the downfall of their offense. And most importantly of all is they haven't protected the football well enough. I mean, there's another game where, you know, they're going to tie the game up and they fumble going into the end zone. I mean, you know, good teams don't fumble going into the end zone. They don't fumble, period.
Mike, you've been around Bill a lot, and you talk about that fumbling, and we talk about repeat offenders, right? He doesn't like those guys. And it's almost like he's going to Harris, to Stevenson, to Taylor fumbles. So what can he do? I mean, you can only coach a guy up. I guess some guys get it, some guys don't, or is this something you just sort of stick with?
You just got to have to stick through it and fight yourself through it. And, you know, Stevenson's ball security this summer, the way he carried it, the way he did at Oklahoma, was a concern. I think they keep coaching them and keep working on the technique of making sure we don't fumble. I mean, they've had 7 fumbles in 5 games. They've lost 4 of them. So they got to keep working at it, and they got to keep really kind of trying to improve in that area. You know what the weaknesses are, and they've got to get better at it.
So, all right, so you're a defensive player, and you're waiting for the game plan and how to stop this, you know, gosh, 5-headed monster of the Dallas Cowboys. Like, so what's the most important thing for the defense to be concerned with?
Well, I think the number one thing is we can't let the ball get thrown out of our head. I mean, we got to keep them in front of us, and we got to play really good in the red area. I mean, we can't get caught up in yards. They're going to move the football. They're good, right? They're really good. They're 51% on third down. So even if we get them in third down, it's a challenge. But we've got to keep the ball in front of us. We've got to make them settle for field goals and try to get them to become impatient and play really good. They scored 170 points in 5 games. I mean, this is a team. The lowest scoring total they've had all season is 20 against the Chargers. So I think what they've got to do is in situational football, when they know, you know, 3rd and 8, the ball's going to go to Schultz. You know, he wants to throw the ball inside to the tight end. You know, and I think you got to play those situations really, really well. And hopefully you can control the ball more on them. I mean, they've been able to hold the ball for 31 minutes, and their defense has only been on the field for 28. So you've got to try to convert third downs. And you've got to keep him off the field and make him play from behind, because that's not something they've done all season.
Yeah, but just specifically, you know, we were just talking about the running backs, Pollard and Zeke, and you know how much they're running, you know, per game, and just what a weapon those guys are. So is that, like, as far as game planning go, do you force the issue and put as many guys and many bodies at the line of scrimmage as possible?
Well, that puts a lot of it, leaves your isolation on the corner.
Yeah, so
outside.
How does that, and that just, you know, poses
so
another problem.
You know, most of the time, if teams are running the ball successfully, they're probably not scoring a lot of points. You can't give up big runs. That's the other problem. I mean, Elliott's got a 47-yard run. Pollard's got a 28-yard run. You can't give up big runs. And I think without Tyrod Smith, who's questionable whether he's going to play at left tackle to go along with Steele at right tackle, they've got to control the edges of this Cowboy offense. That's where they have to force the ball back inside, where they've got more tacklers. And I think they're going to have to set the edge really well in this run game and force them to try to bounce the ball outside and let the defense catch to them.
So last week, Mike, I think it was huge that Mac Jones led those, obviously, because they got the win and an ugly one at that, but they got it. And he led those 4 straight scoring drives in the second half after Houston inexplicably punted the ball off their own helmet. Now, that was huge in the development of Mac Jones, getting a road win, a comeback win. But how does he get to that next level of consistently not just getting threes when they get near or in the red zone? I mean, my God, Nick Folk is getting so much work. How does he earn the trust or get to that converting the 3 into 7 zone and do it more consistently?
I think he's just got to keep getting the reps in the red zone. The red zone is, the field is shrunk. Everything's faster. Everything moves faster. The windows are tighter. And he's got to be able to see it clearer. And the misdirection typically helps down there. And he's got to be really good at processing faster. And when he has an opportunity to make a throw, like, you know, in the Tampa game, he runs the boot, he throws it back inside. He's got Hunter Henry in the back corner of the end zone open. He's got to be able to trust his instincts and kind of get a feel for it. The red zone is always a different game because it moves so fast and the field shrinks. And the windows become so tight and teams will drop. And he's got to trust his arm like he did the throw he made to Hunter Henry. I mean, you know, when he lets that ball go, you think it's going to get picked off, and it goes right over the top of the DB.
We're talking to Mike Lombardi. Mike, we thought when the Patriots signed Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith in the offseason, 12 personnel, the 2 tight ends, we've seen it here before, it's going to work. And Jonnu Smith so far, Hunter Henry's been picking it up, has been a disappointment. I think he had 6 routes. He just ran 6 routes last week. So what are you seeing from Jonnu, and how does it turn around for him?
Well, I think, look, they got to get the ball in his hands. The guy's really good when he gets the ball in his hands. And they just got to keep figuring out. This is part of being what I call it, a young team. I think you've got to keep working to stress where you want to go. I think they're going to become more of a 12 team. I think you'll see less 2 backs. I think in the game against the Texans, some of the things the Texans were doing with their defensive front lend them to be back in a 2-back backfield. But I think this game will be more of a 12 personnel game. And then eventually, once this offensive line gets some continuity and start throwing the ball down the seams, utilizing Smith's athleticism and then allowing him to run with the ball after the catch. I mean, it's early, and you're going to take some time to learn these players. It wasn't automatic whenever you get a new player, he just does it automatically. He's got to learn within the system. I think it's going to take some time. But the one thing I know about Smith, when the ball's in his hands, he's a really good runner.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just got to catch it. I guess that's the important aspect. That
well, I mean, you know, I think oftentimes what happens with guys that, you know, as you know from playing, I mean, you know, when you're thinking too much, you're the one thing that happens is you, the thing that's easiest to do is you don't do is catch it. You know, and when you're thinking about the offense, you're thinking about where you need to be. Everybody's learning the offense. It's all new for everybody.
So when you look at the Cowboys defense, okay, lots of turnovers, lots of picks, pretty good at a lot of things, but it seems like the turnovers and their turnover differential is actually, you know, maybe a little camouflage of how good they really are. Like, what do you think of the Dallas Cowboys defense overall?
Well, I got to give Dan Quinn a lot of credit, right? So Dan Quinn has always been a Pete Carroll disciple. Play cover three, play over front, you know, play zone, play 90% zone, play in the back end. Don't even match the routes, you know, just spot drop, read the quarterback shoulder and break. And, you know, Atlanta played that defense for the whole time he was there. Then he gets fired and Raheem Morris takes over. And Raheem Morris is able to kind of play better defense with the same personnel. And I think Quinn realized that, look, I got to change. I got to be more adaptive. I got to try to change what I'm doing defensively as opposed to being so predictable. And he did. And I think he's been more multidimensional. He's been able to change his front. He's moved players around. He's kind of utilized what he wants to do, but then bridged off of that. And it presents a challenge. And their athleticism, their speed, and their ability to turn the ball over has been really impressive. I mean, particularly in the secondary where, you know, typically that they did. If you were to say to me at the beginning of the season, do they have guys that can flat out cover? I would say, well, one of their areas of weakness would be their secondary. And I think they've improved in that area. They have great ball awareness. I mean, they're able to find the football. I mean, they've already got 10 interceptions on the team. They've already forced, you know, two fumbles that have come out. So, and they do a good job of protecting the football. So, you know, I think that's been the key to Dan Quinn. He's turning the ball over, which is the signature of the Pete Carroll defense, but he's doing it in a different manner than he's done in the past.
Mike, the Patriots running back room to date has obviously, we thought it was going to be a strength, and it's turned into a weakness. Bill's had some guys in the doghouse. A lot of us think that the Patriots need to make a trade to add a little more speed, some better pass catching, versatility. Get a third down back. We saw a team like Arizona address a need last night trading for Zach Ertz. Is there a guy out there that we're not naming or that maybe the Patriots could, and do you think they would make a move like that?
Well, I think, you know, look, they got to get the guys that they have to play at a higher level. It's not always easy just to bring somebody else in and teach him a new system when you got guys there. They've got to get J.J. Taylor, you know, who could do those things. I mean, J.J. Taylor is the perfect guy to change field position with his quickness, his acceleration, his hands. But he's got to hold on to the football, and then he's got to be able to be better in pass protection. The answer always isn't on the outside. It's on the inside. And I think they've got to get their players to play at a much higher level. Losing James White hurts, but less got to go on. And I think Bolden can certainly get them from one place to the next. But they need more explosiveness out of that position. And I think it's really Taylor, but Taylor's got to be up for the challenge. I don't know if you're going to find a nickelback out there that can do the kind of things they need him to do, or else he would be in Carolina. Carolina would have signed him by now because of McCaffrey's injuries.
Mike, last one for me. You know, we play sound from all these opponents getting ready to play the New England Patriots, and it sounds like they're describing teams of the past, you know, and not the team of the present. You know, they're disciplined. They don't hurt themselves. They don't make mistakes. They'll be ready to go. Are we just media fans? Are we sort of still living in the past? Other teams still living in the past with this Patriot team?
Well, I mean, you know, I think for most of the time, they do that. You know, I mean, I think when you break them down and they don't get penalized quite a bit, you know, they've only had 35 penalties. I think they've had less than that. I mean, so they've done a good job of, you know, penalized. Where they haven't done a good job is protecting the football, which is uncharacteristic of Belichick team. But, you know, every week they get better and better at doing those things, and they got to continue to do it. No, I don't think so. I think it's part of the DNA of the team. They're not going to make mistakes. They're going to make sure they know what to do. They're not going to try to do something that they didn't practice. I mean, it's all out there. You know, and look last night. I mean, that Buccaneers team, their offensive weapons are really good. They held them to 19 points. Now, I know the weather was a factor in that game, but when they play together and they communicate and everybody's on the same page, they can win games.
All right, listen, Mike, I appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend and looking forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Lombardi.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.